أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verses number 6 onwards, Surah Naba. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. Did we not make the earth a resting place and the mountains stakes and create you in pairs? Last week when we started the surah, we said that most probably, it was revealed after the Prophet announced his mission publicly, so in the third year of the Bi'sa. And of course, the most important thing that Prophet informed the people about at that time was that you are going to be raised after you die. And the first thing that Prophet said on Mount Safa when he announced his mission was that kama kama tanamuna tamutun wa kama tastayqizuna tub'athun. The way you sleep, you die, and the way you wake up, raise. And this created, of course, radical and deriding among the people who listened, saying that this man is informing you of something which is very improbable, that you, after you are bones and you are dust, then you come back to life again. And they started to talk about it together to each other, and therefore this amma yatasa'alun, what is it about which they question each other or they talk to each other? And of course the Quran says that this is a very, very big information. It's a big tidying and a naba' al-azim, and human beings have always been disputing about this issue. And then there are 10 verses which Allah mentions about how the system in this world works. Now, these are the 10 verses that we are going to discuss today, inshallah. After كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ ثُمَّ كَلَّا سَيَعْلَمُونَ. No, of course, indeed, they will soon know. It says that look at the world around you and then judge yourself. Now, these verses that we are going to discuss about the way the system of the world works are provided here as a proof that there is a Day of Judgment. Now, what type of argument is this? We will see shortly, inshallah. But let's go through the verses first that talks about the system of this world. Now, the system is, أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مَهَادًا. Did we not make the earth as a cradle, as a place in which you could very comfortably live, rest? Of course, we know the planet is a very complicated, created thing. We know that, well, of course, if everything was not provided there, it was a very dangerous place to live on. You see how, of course, the hazards, the dangers that exist on the earth, and we know that this planet is moving very, very fast, and it's amazing, it's a miracle that we can still be alive on this planet. Now, the word mihad or mahad in other places is used for the earth, which is another word for cradle. Something which moves steadily and on which children go to sleep, because it's very comfortable, because that movement actually makes the situation in a way that they could rest, they could sleep very easily. And the earth is like that. This huge planet, this huge creature is created in a way that it's just like a cradle for you, that you live on it comfortably. In other verses of the Quran, of course, this issue of earth being tamed for you is similar to an untamed creature. That if you really wanted to tame it, if you really wanted to to ride on it, it would have been very, very difficult for you unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made it calm and quiet for you. هو الذي in Surah Mulk, it says, هو الذي جعل لكم الأرض ذلولا. Allah has tamed the earth for you. فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبَهَا. So walk in its flanks. We have made ways, subul, pathways from which, on which you could walk and which you could explore this planet. Find things on it, find your provision on it. فَمْشُوا فِي مَنَاكِبَهَا وَكُلُوا مِنْ رَزْقِهِ. And eat from his sustenance. And the sustenance which is, of course, created for us on the earth. It's amazing. I mean, all the wealth that we acquire is all from this earth. Whatever we use as our provision is all provided on this earth. And apparently, if the world goes until infinity, this earth can provide for the creatures which live on it. And if we think about it, it's an amazing thing, because billions and billions of people, billions and billions of insects, animals, fishes, fish, and everything that you can imagine are all being provided for from what is on the earth. There's nothing else. Nothing comes from anywhere else. Even the rain that comes from the sky is just evaporation of water from the earth. So, did we not make the earth a place on which you can live comfortably? وَالْجِبَالَ أَوْتَادًا. And of course, this is again talking about the earth. And the way the earth has been tamed for you, the way it is, it has been calmed down for you, the mountains. Of course, the Quran uses this very frequently, that the mountains are pegs, are like stakes, that make the earth steady, doesn't allow the earth to shake. In a sense, it wants to say that by bringing this issue of mountains again and again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell us that don't think that it has been just an accident that earth is so calm, so quiet, so steady, you can live on it. We have created a system. These mountains are the function of the mountains, according to the Quran, is that it keeps the earth steady. And if we think about the theories which exist nowadays about tectonic plates and their movements and how the mountains are produced, this is not, of course, something far from our understanding, that yes, it's the mountains that keep the movement of these tectonic plates to the minimum, so that the earth is steady, there are not severe and so many earthquakes. And of course, we know that this system would disappear on the Day of Judgment. The whole system that we know about the earth today, the earth wouldn't disappear, of course. The earth would be there, but there would be another system on the earth. يَوْمَ تُبَدَّلُ الْأَرْضُ غَيْرَ الْعَرْضِ. The day when we change this earth to another earth, to an earth with completely different system, and completely different things to function there. There will be no oceans on the Day of Judgment, because they would all evaporate according to the Quran. وَإِذَا الْبِحَارُ سُجِّرَتْ. When the fire comes to the oceans, they all evaporate. So probably when you live in heaven, there will be no rain. Or maybe the rain comes from somewhere else. There will be no mountains. And وَسُيِّرَتْ الْجِبَالِ. The mountains will be removed. And it would become, because of the earthquakes that happened just before the Day of Judgment, it will all be pounded, and the earth will be just a very, very smooth plain, without, of course, mountains, without huts and other things. So, this is the function working now. It is the function of the mountains. Of course, then it will be changed. Of course, Allah could have mentioned the oceans, the function of the oceans, the function of the climate, and anything that you think on this earth, anything which makes this earth a place readily available for life. But only these two things are mentioned here. Then it comes to the creation of human beings. وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا And we created you in pairs. Now, azwaj, of course, has two very distinct meanings. One is, of course, pairs, male and female. And the other are types. أُحْشُرُ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا وَأَزْوَاجَهُمْ Must take, gather the ظالمين, the wrongdoers, and their types. Those who acted like them in other generations, in other places, to the hellfire. So azwaj means type as well, but here it certainly means pair. This is another amazing thing which is created by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The system of reproduction is created through creation of male and female on this earth. And if we want to think about this, for years and years and ponder about it. There are amazements which would be the result of this thinking and this pondering. Of course, we are not used to ponder on things which are around us. We take everything for granted. We say, well, this is how it is. This is how it has been. It is, if we don't take things for granted and want to think about it, how it has become like this? How has it been possible? Of course, we have a very rough theory. Well, it's evolution. The world works like this. Well, of course, the world works like this. It's evolution. It probably has come to evolution of any other system. But if we want to think, was there any thoughts within this or not? It's very, very difficult to think that no thought is behind this. It's just all in vain, or it's just all in a sort of haphazard and arbitrary way that things have come about. There's a very nice story from Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. You know, at the time of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, especially at that time when the philosophy and the culture of other faiths were being not only faith, other cultures, the product of other cultures were being translated into Arabic. There were many secular intellectuals around, which of course there were people working in the court of Abbasids, early Abbasids, late Umayyads. They had come from different parts of the world due to the conquests, and they had formed circles of intellectual thoughts, think tanks, so to speak, to think about politics, to think about social change and all these things. But of course, they were working very low key because there was this issue of irtidad, and anyone talking against the religion would have been put to death. So they were very careful. But with Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq, they were very comfortable to discuss things. Now, two of these people who were very, very famous, one was Abdul Karim ibn Abdul Awja' and the other was Abdullah ibn al-Muqatta. Now, Ibn al-Muqatta is very famous because he was an Iranian. He had come from an Iranian cultural family. He was in the court of the Abbasids at the beginning, and both these people were executed later on because of Iftirah, because of the type of arguments that they made. As I said, they were very comfortable with Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. They went and discussed things with him, and of course, at all times, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq produced arguments that they could not answer, and they could not find any response to it. Once Ibn Abil Awja' was discussing with one of the disciples of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq. I don't remember, maybe Hisham ibn al-Hakam or someone else. And the disciple of Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq became angry and said, you are a kafir, you should not talk in this way. Ibn Abi al-Awja' said, are you a disciple of Ja'far ibn Muhammad al-Sadiq? He said, yes. He said, well, I'm not used to this type of argument with your master. Your master is very calm all the time. And when I discuss things with him, he answers in a very polite way. Now you he doesn't seem that you are his student. Anyhow, once Ibn Abi al-Awja and Ibn al-Mufassa, maybe you have heard about the book Halila and Damana, which is a very, very old Indian book of ethics, wrote from the mouth of animals. This Ibn al-Mufassa had translated this into Persian. And he had, of course, scientific aspects as well. Once Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq was in Hajj, and these two, Ibn Abi al-Awja and Ibn al-Mufassa, were there as well, sitting in Masjid al-Haram. And they started to talk that, well, until when these people, these stupid people, want to come and go around this house, circumambulate. It's just like a joke. I mean, the whole process, the whole procession of Hajj is just like a joke. They come, they go around the house, they go, they throw pebbles at a stone. And until when this stupidity wants to continue? And Ibn Abi al-Awja said, okay, this is a very good argument. Let's go and put this to Ja'far ibn Muhammad, because he's here as well. And maybe we have a good discussion with him. Now, Ibn al-Muqaffa said, I don't come, because I usually don't like to talk to Ja'far ibn Muhammad. He always wins in arguments. So, you go. Ibn Abi al-Awja went and told the same thing, that until what time? Yabna Rasulullah. Well, he started with Yabna Rasulullah. Until what time this stupidity wants to go on? Well, first Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq told him that, why you call Ibn Rasulullah? Do you believe in Allah? He said, no. So, he said, why do you say Rasulullah? You do not believe in the messenger of God if you do not believe in God. He said, it's a habit. He said, okay, go on. Secondly, why are you here? Do you believe in Hajj? He said, no. He said, so why are you here? Why you come here and do perform Hajj with the people? He said, it's a tradition. We like to come and join the community. And Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, okay, ask your question. He said, yes. It's the same thing that they were discussing. He said, we were discussing with Ibn al-Muqaffa and we came to this point that this is a stupid thing to do. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said that, well, you believe like this, and these people believe otherwise. Now, if this is something which comes from truth, comes from a true source, and if these people believe in this because it comes from God, then of course you are completely two different type of people, one believer, one non-believer. Now, if all these are true, then these people would win and you will lose on the day of this. And it is false if, as you say, there is no origin for it. Then both of you are equal, because these are not losing anything by performing these actions. People do many things in this world, and these people are doing performing Hajj. They come for a purpose, they know what they are doing. If there is no truth in it, they are not losers. They have just done as you do. So, at the end of the day, you are definitely losers. And these people, 50% is the chance that they are winners. For you, you are definitely losers, because you say there is nothing after death. Now, Ibn Abi al-Awja says that, can I come to you tomorrow to your house? I want to talk to you privately. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, yes, come. Tomorrow he went, and he couldn't speak. Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq told him, why don't you speak? He said, because there is an oh, I feel from you that I never feel with anyone else. Although I'm comfortable discussing issues with you, but I'm comfortable of the aura that is that comes from you to my heart. Imam said, feel comfortable, discuss whatever you want. He said, I want to ask you about God. Why do you believe in God? Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq said, do you think you are created or not created? Now, this is a very important question for every one of us. Are you created or are you not created? He said, I'm not created. Because, of course, if he said, I'm created, there should be a creator, he would believe in God. He said, okay, think, if you were creators, were you to be created, how would you have been? What difference you would have had with the type that you are now? Yes, well, of course, you have an answer. He thought. He thought and thought for several minutes to say that, yes, if I was created, if there was a thought, if there was intelligence behind my being, behind my creation, I would have been something different. And since now it's an accident, since things have gone according to accident, it has become like this. He thought and thought and thought. And without saying anything, he just left. Because he wanted to think more probably, or he didn't have any answer to provide for the non-Japa Sada, he left. Now, these verses here ponder on it, especially the creation of the earth, the creation of pairs, male and female. Suppose there was, these were all accidents, just according to a blind evolution. Now, if there was intelligence behind it, if there was thought behind this, how different it would have been. Every piece, every cell, every molecule you look in this world, you see that it's so perfect, working so amazingly, that you cannot think that if it would have been like this, it would have been a bit different, it would have been better. This is what Allah wants to raise here, that look around you and see if there is any imperfection. If there's anything which is not working perfectly, then come back to me and say, "You, this is void." And the whole argument which goes behind it later on, we come to it, of course, after we analyze every verse, is that if the system is not void, if every part of the system has intelligence behind it, then why do you think that the whole system is void? Because when you do not believe in the Day of Judgment, it means that the whole system is void. Of course, every piece, every bit of this system is working perfectly. It's not void, it's not for play. There is haq behind it, not batil, not play. But those who believe that there is no Day of Judgment, they say, well, although the bits and pieces are working perfectly and there's intelligence, but the whole system is void. There's no intelligence behind the whole system. The whole system is there for nothing, just for a play. And this is what Allah denies also. أَلَمْ تَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ خَلَقَ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ بِالْحَقِّ. Do you not see that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the heavens and the earth by haq? Haq is something which has a purpose. And batil is something which has no purpose. In a way, if there is no, it's not according to haq, then it's a play which has no purpose. Usually play has no purpose. It's just done for the sake of entertainment. And Allah denies this very categorically in other verses of the Quran. وَمَا خَلَقْنَا السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضَ وَمَا بَيْنَهُمَا لَاعِبِينَ. We have not created the heavens and the earth and what is inside them, just for play. مَا خَلَقْنَاهُمَا إِلَّا بِالْحَقِّ. It's haq according to which we have created. It means there's a purpose. There's a very, very serious purpose in this. But if you say there's no Day of Judgment, the whole purpose will go. If you say the life ends here, and the world, we don't know where it goes. It's just there, it works until infinity, the way it is, then of course there's no purpose behind it. Now, what these verses want to tell us is that look at every individual phenomenon around yourself and see if it is void, if there's no purpose in it. Then you can say there's the whole system is void. Find only one thing, one created thing in this world to be void. And then you can say that the whole system is void. But if everything is purposeful, if every created thing has a purpose in itself, then why do you think the whole system is void? Now, so So three things was mentioned here. أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا. Did we not make the earth as a cradle, a resting place, and the mountains as pegs? وَخَلَقْنَاكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا. And create you in earth. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. Now think about yourself, your sleep, and your waking. Now, your sleep, of course, if you did not sleep, you would have been exhausted in a very grave way. Now, you live for a long time, but you are awake at times, you sleep, and this sleep is Subat. Subat is probably from the same roots as the Hebrew Sabbath or Sabbath, which means stop, a halt. So it is a halt for you, for your activities, so that you could regain energy again and start working, and you are always fresh, you are always energetic, because you don't continuously go on and on and on and working. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ لِبَاسًا. And we make the night a covering in which every living creature on this earth would rest. Even the cells, the plants, everything would come to a rest. And then refreshes again until the day, which is وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا. And we make the day as a frame for life. Ma'ash is from Aish, life. Of course, livelihood, going after your livelihood, but mainly a frame for life, where life could show itself in its fullest way. وَجَعَلْنَا النَّهَارَ مَعَاشًا وَبَنَيْنَا فَوْقَكُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا. And built above you the seven mighty heavens. Shadad, of course, is mighty, very, very strong, and it alludes to the seven heavens, of course. Now, what seven heavens are in the Quran is very perplexing. It's very difficult to guess what Allah means by seven heavens. But going through different verses which talk about seven heavens, we can come to conclusion that it's not used in a uniform way for one meaning. It might have two or three meanings. The heavens, the sky, and especially the seven heavens. It comes to mind that at points the seven heavens or seven skies or seven layers of the heavens alludes to the to different layers of the earth atmosphere, which are just like a very, very strong shield, which protects us from heavenly, from things coming from the galaxy, from the universe, whether it is different rays coming from different planets or just moving objects and these things. This is, of course, a strong shield. Saba'an shadada, different layers, and of course it talks about seven layers. Exactly, is it the seven layers of atmosphere that they talk about, the scientists talk about now, or is it different things, we don't know. But it's a shield, it's something which protects us, as it is mentioned in Surah Mu'minun, وَجَعَلْنَا السَّمَاءَ سَقْفًا مَحْفُوظًا. We have made the heaven, the sama, to be a protecting, or a protected ceiling that protects you. Now, of course, this is one meaning that could be understood from some verses. The other meaning is, of course, seven heavens, just like seven universes. We have, of course, we know about one universe. That is the universe that we have access to through our very, very fascinating and advanced technology. We know about the galaxies, other galaxies and these things. And the Quran says this is only the first, the closest sky to you. وَزَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ. We decorated the lowest, the closest sky with the stars. So it means that there are other signs, there are other heavens which are above these, but there are no stars or there are no planets in them. So what is the function of them? Do we know about them? We don't know about them at all. It might allude to seven dimensions of the same universe, as one verse in Surah Talaq would insinuate, that Allah has created seven heavens and seven earths like them, and the Amr of Allah comes down, descends through these seven heavens and seven earths. الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ اللَّهُ الَّذِي خَلَقَ سَبْعَ سَمَاوَاتٍ وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ Allah is the one who created seven heavens and from the earth the same number وَمِنَ الْأَرْضِ مِثْلَهُنَّ يَتَنَزَّلُ الْأَمْرُ بَيْنَهُنَّ The Amr of Allah, the command, descends through these seven layers of heaven and earth, coming down to you. Now, of course, we know there are not seven earths. There are billions of planets, but this is the earth is unique, the earth on which we live. And there's no meaning for creation of seven earths. We might say there are seven different universes, one above each other or whatever, but thinking about seven earths would not bring us to any meaning but seven dimensions, especially as Allah says that there are, His command descends through these heavens and earths up till it comes to you. So three meanings, which all not necessarily contradict each other, that, and all of them you can maintain, could be understood from these seven, number seven, which is mentioned about the heavens in the Quran. One is, of course, the seven heavens are the seven layers of the atmosphere above earth. So it talks about just the heaven of the earth, what is close to us. And it is understood from many different verses. The other is, apart from this universe that we see, which is full of stars, there are six other universes around this, which we don't know anything about. It's the realm of angels, probably. The angels live there. There's nothing else there. If we want to go there, it would seem just like void, just like vacuum. Nothing is there. However, of course, we would never have access to that. Well, I say never. Well, everything is possible for human beings. Maybe one day. But now, of course, we do not go beyond the universe in which there are galaxies and planets. And the other meaning are the seven dimensions. Well, of course, the physical dimension, then another dimension beyond that, another dimension beyond that, until it reaches to the arsh of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from where the command descends until it comes to the physical world. However, here, وَبَنَيْنَا فَوَّقُمْ سَبْعًا شِدَادًا We built above you seven mighty heavens, most probably alludes to seven layers of protection, which are around us in the earth, so that we could live comfortably. وَجَعَلْنَا سِرَاجًا وَحَاجًا And, of course, the sun we created as a radiant lamp, which you know that the whole light depends on the radiation coming from the sun. وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُؤْصِرَاتِ مَاءً فَجَّاجًا And sent down water pouring from the rain clouds. مُؤْصِرَات, of course, Asar means to press something so that the juice or the water comes out of it. And it somehow uses this metaphor for the cloud, as we press it and water comes down from it. So, وَأَنْزَلْنَا مِنَ الْمُؤْصِرَاتِ مَاءً فَجَّاجٍ is, of course, abundant water. We sent down for you. And this water, of course, doesn't come down without a purpose. It is, you know, the very beautiful system working on the earth. The water from the oceans evaporates. It goes, it is as Allah just takes water from the ocean, you can think about it with some sort of imagination. Allah takes water with a bucket from the ocean and takes it to the places where there are no water and pours it down, isn't it? But of course it works according to a very beautiful system. The clouds are shaped, are formed, then the wind moves these clouds to somewhere else and the water comes down. It's a permanent system of taking water from the oceans and pouring it in places where they need it. And why did we do this? لَنُخْرَجَ بِهِ حَبًّا وَنَبَاتًا. With it we may bring forth grains and plants. وَجَنَّاتٍ أَلْفَافًا. And of course luxuriant, lush gardens of everything which you see, from which you eat. Now, the next verse of course is the conclusion of all this. إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْفَصْلِ كَانَ مِيقَاتًا. The day of judgment is the appointment, the time for appointment or the place for appointment. Miqat is a time for an appointment or a place for an appointment. So the day of judgment is our appointed date, where we meet. Now, is this a conclusion of for all this? Yes, it is, because it says nothing is void in this world. Everything works perfectly in a very nice system. Now, I haven't created this in voice. There is a day when you will come to me, you see the purpose of all this. You see the purpose of your creation. So, there is an appointed time. Let's wait until we meet there, and then we could discuss these things further. Or Allah could talk about these things further to us. But the whole thing that the verse wants to say is that, look around you, think about these things. If this is void, then you can talk about the voidness of the whole world, the purposelessness of the whole world. If this is not void, then of course there is an appointed time to meet. Inshallah, we'll discuss the rest of the verses next. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Thank you, Anthony and Sheikh. I know I think that this may raise a second question. Brothers and sisters, anybody? Maybe there's any comments or questions? Everybody's quiet. Sheikh, we discussed that the earth will be formed in a different, to take a different form on the day of judgment. What about other planets and stars? Will they be destroyed or will they be absorbed by Earth, and then Earth will take over its expansion, sort of kind of a shape? And it seems then from the discussion that the season that we have is due to all these seas and oceans and mountains and all this. So there won't be any seasons or in heavens, everything will be flat, and there won't be an Earth revolving around the sun or
inshallah we'll go and see. Inshallah. But the planets, the stars, they all change shape, but there's no reason to think that they will disappear. No. There will be there maybe a place for people to live as part of paradise. We don't know. The earth will be there, of course it will change shape. It will be flat, as Quran mentions, because there's no use for mountains anymore. But how the system would work then? Would there be seasons or there wouldn't be seasons? We really don't know. We have to wait and see.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is there any concept of day and night?
Just a minute. There's a question in the back. You get your turn. Or just okay. I'll give the mic.
Hello, my question is there any concept of day and night rotation like the system we
talked about? On the day of judgment, you mean?
No, in heaven.
System of day and night, where? When, you mean? Is there...
The rotations, yeah.
We have it now. Would it be there on the day of judgment, you mean? After the changes?
Yeah.
After the changes come. there should be. I don't see why the earth should come to a stop. It's very difficult to imagine that the earth would come to stop and then would be a resting place there. Well, everything is possible. We just know that the whole system would change. And the change and the evolution which takes place is so severe that even the souls and the angels could not bear to exist in that period of change. And that's why the trumpet is blown, every soul goes unconscious, every angel goes unconscious, and then the changes take place. And we don't know for how many years that would continue. And after the changes are complete, then the souls come back to consciousness, come back to life with a second blowing. How the system would be, we are not told. We are told about the beginning of this change, that the stars fall apart, the sun would go dark, the earth, of course, the changes in the earth, there would be big shaking, great earthquakes, which are not comparable to the earthquakes that we have now. And then the oceans would evaporate as there's fire in them. This is the beginning of the change which would take place when Allah wants to bring Day of Judgment. But the eventuality of it is not clear for us. How the system will become. There will be no rains probably because there will be no water, no oceans. Well, there will be water. But there's no need for rain because there are springs running everywhere and rivers, and of course not only rivers of water, rivers of honey, rivers of milk, which is quite impossible for us to imagine. So completely different system. We cannot say how it is really.
Sisters, from the brothers.
Yeah, this is again one of the concepts that corroborates the idea of dimensions of heaven. That, for example, when we say Jesus is in the fourth heaven, or at least is in the fifth heaven, or whatever, it means different dimensions of the whole creation. And it is really difficult to think that there is a physical heaven there where the soul of these prophets are kept. So I think this alludes to that fact about dimensions, different dimensions of the universe.
In this verse it says that the sleep is for rest, and then the night is covering, and the day is for the livelihood. And then we have this recommendation that you wake up in the middle of the night for Tahajjud and the other ibadahs to elevate yourself. So what is the significance that once the timing for the work is the day, but then to elevate yourself, it is recommended that you get up in the middle of the night or to elevate yourself. So how can we reconcile these two different situations?
Yeah, because of course, no is not something which would encompass the whole night. Sleep is not something that should encompass the whole night. Night is very long. Some part of it is used for sleep. And yes, the night is a covering in which people can find private relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, find privacy for themselves. And in that privacy is when the soul can ponder, can think about ayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and can of course establish a very close relationship with God. Because the busy type of atmosphere of the day is not there. In the day we are very busy, we have lots of things to do, our mind is engaged with many different things, while after sleep, when we wake up before dawn, the mind has rested completely, the body has rested, then there is not, the body has not started, the mind has not started to think about those daily business and engagement. So it's a covering for that as well, the night. When Allah says we made night a covering, it doesn't mean that it should be only for sleep. It might be for other things which are done in the private moments of every soul, which is that worship recommended during the night.
Thank you. And she says,
I know that Allah uses Wabanaina. And is there a difference between Wabanaina and Khalaqna, build and create?
Well, because the heavens are like ceilings of the whole creation. It says we build, just as a builder. As I said, this most probably refers to the layers of atmosphere which surround the earth. So it says that just like a builder puts ceiling for his, the construction they make, we have to build this ceiling there.
Sorry, but in some ayats we see Khalaqna, not all of them don't say Banayna.
Yeah, this is another actually element which again tells us this refers to layers of the atmosphere rather than the seven universe or seven heavens. Because when it says خَلَقْنَا سَبْعَ السَّمَوَاتِ, it means seven universes, seven heavens, which is not just like a building above, built above the earth. Here, since it says بَنَيْنَا, we built, we realize that it's just like a ceiling above us, so it refers to that.
The question about this working during the day and rest in the evening. The way the system that we have nowadays, that we are working more than 24 hours, shops opening all the time and all the world going around, factories and things like that, that the system which is evolving and it is on the increase. Is there any recommendations that from the Muslims' point of view that when they organize their life, they should keep in mind and keep this thing in perspective so that when we develop our societies, we take account of this recommendation of rest and working with the day, rest of time, and that. Is there any guidance on that?
Well, there's no prohibition in that. When Allah creates, of course, the purpose of different things at different stages, or having night and day, and usually the sleep is during the night, and work is during the day. This is the overwhelming type of activity which is we see by human beings, a natural type of. But if people want to go unnatural due to either exigency, for example, in a war, you can't say, I want to rest during the night, because Quran says that we have to rest during the night and keep awake during the day, and therefore this is night, I go asleep. For example, in hospitals, you can't say this. For doctors, this doesn't work because there are emergencies they have to attend to during the night. There is no prohibition for it, but the system is not created in the way that usually human beings or animals or plants would work otherwise. Just due to some exigencies, just due to some extra reasons, it might go otherwise, generally it's not like that.
If we were to ask, for example, atheists, what flaws you see in the system, with any defects, they probably come out with things like children being born with defects, with no choice of their own. How would we counter this?
Now, exceptions are not flaws in the system, certainly. I mean, when we see a system working perfectly, in a sense, those exceptions tell us that what would have happened if the system did not work perfectly. It is another reminder for us that the system is working perfectly. And why, of course, from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we see from that point, it's difficult to explain. From a system point of view, it's very easy to explain that the system is working perfectly, there are exceptions, which again gives us the thought that how perfectly the system is working and what would have happened if it did not. But if we look from the point of view of the wisdom of Allah, why these things happen, that's a completely different issue, of course. It goes to a very, very different area.
You said that the earth, but on the day of judgment, when everything is going to perish, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, what's the point of earth remaining and sun and moon? And what will be their purpose?
No, of course, kullu man alayha fan means in this life, whoever, whether human being, animal, plant, which are on the earth, would perish. Which it would happen, of course. But Allah says, kama bada'na awwala khalqan nu'idu. As we started the creation, we bring it back after they perish. So, yes, of course, on the day of judgment, things come back. The plants come back. Animals come back, human beings come back, and then of course there is no destruction anymore after that. There will be eternality of life on the earth afterwards. So kullu man alayha fan refers to this life, not to the next life.
I heard that Allah created 50 Adam and that he had the last Adam, and then the day of judgment will be the they
are looking
for all the Adams
that are
created. Is this
true?
As
in
50 generations of
Adams? Yes, I don't know. maybe, we don't know. I mean, we just know about our own creation and this human species which are now on the earth, and most probably all of them are children of Adam. I say most probably because it's possible that some of them are not children of Adam. We don't know. But we are not talking about this generation. This race, this species. Whether there have been creation of Adam before this, after this, we don't know. Maybe we never know.
So you say that there's a continuous creation going on. What does it mean? For example, our cells are being renewed when we go to sleep or rest, or when we have food and all that, or energy renewed. Is that what is meant by creation, continuous creation, or is it something else?
Well, creation, of course, is an ongoing thing. I mean, every child which is born is a new creation. So I don't know what you mean by the question. I mean, every day, every leaf that comes out of a plant is a new creation. So what do you mean by it?
No, that is what I wanted to explain. Thank you. Any other? Thank you, Muhammad Mu'allim. Inshallah, next Sunday?
Inshallah.